Recently, I got into a bit of a pickle with my peppermill. It is a fairly new peppermill, and I am not really used to how it works. So instead of just filling it, this was the plan, I ended up with the component parts of said peppermill all over a tray. The tray was reused. And the peppercorns hither and yon. There were various almost identical washers, which inevitably fell into the peppercorns, which were about the same size, and it was tricky. So I emptied the mirror, winnowed the pepper, retrieved the washer. This may or may not have been repeated several times. Oh, and one of the bits of the mill was a spring with a life of its own. It appeared in all sorts of places in the kitchen unexpectedly. If you are a Harry Potter fan, please at this point think of the golden snitch. So, even when said spring is in its rightful place and adjusted, it's definitely under a bit of tension, as I was by that point. You kind of get the picture. It was a situation which could have given rise to language. But amazingly, there wasn't any this time. But it got me thinking, and not just about where to keep the instructions for household gadgets. We are remarkably keen to take things apart from whatever good reason, but it is a different thing, and we are less good at it perhaps, to put everything back together so that it functions, articulates, works. How often do we learn anything that will help us to understand anything differently for the future from that process? And it may, of course, be less often than we might hope. And I wonder if that process of taking things apart and putting them back together so that they function better is what we do Sunday by Sunday with our faith and our ponderings about it. Because we look at all sorts of ideas or concepts, whether it's sacrifice or repentance or blessing, or aspects of God as parent, saviour and inspiration as we're doing this morning. And so far, so good. But they may, of course, jangle in relation to beliefs that we have held for a long time and are dear to us. And we might find ourselves in inconvenient places trying to reassemble it. And can we let those times tell us something new and exciting which might inspire us? Can we trust that all things work together for good? Is our appreciation of who God is and where God is at work growing? Because if it isn't, are we really doing ourselves, our church community, perhaps the wider community, any favours? Especially if we understand that Christian life is about longing to see where God is at work and joining in with it to the best of our ability. In the grand scheme of things, I may shrug off the significance of my somewhat sketchy grasp of the workings of my peppermill. But not making those connections in faith may matter much more in the scheme of things. Last week at Pentecost, we celebrated the church's birthday, when the gift of the Holy Spirit enables people to communicate in different languages, but a common tongue. When we are speaking of something wonderful and beyond words, a previous experience perhaps, we are reduced to saying, you had to be there. And of course we weren't present at Pentecost, that first Pentecost, in person. We are all invited in faith to to be caught up in what we might visualise as the comet's tail of beauty and blessing in our time, as the energy of the spirit changes, transforms the world. United in praise, we worship together in joy, taking our different parts and our different rhythms. Responding in gratitude, we are united with each other, with all creation. We sing of God in three persons, Blessed Trinity, and meeting with God in prayer. How are we to begin to understand the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, their relation to each other and to us, more deeply, in ways that help us all and each grow? And how can we relate afresh to the Trinity in our musings today? It may be that the clue is in that expression, "You had to be there." We know that the Holy Spirit quickens us, both bringing life and is always on the move, quick in that sense, ministering his grace, as another of our hymns has it. And often, we are only aware that the Holy Spirit has been present after the event, leaving a legacy of blessing. In contrast, perhaps, in prayer we often relate to God the Father and Jesus like familiar friends that we know and love. They are somehow not at all predictable, but entirely reliable. But the Holy Spirit seems like something else entirely. So how can we put all of that together? And if we look at our creeds, our statements of faith, even they struggle a bit when it comes to the Holy Spirit. Jesus, our Redeemer, was fully human, was conceived, born, suffered, died, raised from the dead. God is the Creator, Jesus, Heavenly Father, and ours. So far, so relatively clear. But with the Spirit, it's not so straightforward. We know the Spirit gives us breath, inspires us, is present with the Father in creation. And maybe it's comforting that, like us, even the creeds struggle a bit to characterise the Holy Spirit. All Christians agreed on giver of life, but there was an amazing amount of kerfuffle about the wording on the Spirit's relationship to the Father and the Son, and it split the church in the earlier days. So maybe this is just a big prompt from God in our day, not to rely on our heads, our intellects, or our egos too much about this. When all else fails, we are to keep and reread the instructions. What applies to my peppermill sadly also applies to the people of God, because our instructions have always been to love the Lord our God with heart and mind and soul and strength, and to walk with Jesus. We are to keep close in love and trust through the power of the Holy Spirit, who helps us to be open, aware of Jesus' promptings in our own lives and in the world. So we are always to expect the unexpected, to welcome it, especially if it comes with a sense of joy, and especially if it prompts us to step out hopefully in faith and in love. And we might actually think back to our vision day yesterday for all who were there. Because then, I think there was a sense of joy, and we are, and know that we are, prompted to step out, hopefully, in faith and love. Amen.